This is Christian Questions.
Aldous Manon once said, "Between the great things we cannot do and the small things we will not do, the danger is that we shall do nothing." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you, like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
And you can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're glad you've chosen to spend some time with us this morning. And Jonathan, what is our topic on this fine Sunday morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, are we now in the perilous times of prophecy? And our theme text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come.
And Jonathan, by the accounts of many, the day in which we live is different than any other time in the recorded history of the world. Never before has there been so much in the way of knowledge, science, and medicine that can heal and restore, and yet never has there been so much by the way of brilliantly formed destructive forces as well. We are blessed with technology and its work-saving power, and yet we are cursed by its power to feed the basest of human desire. We're blessed with the greater freedom from more of the masses than ever before, and yet we are cursed with the abuses, greed, and inequity that such freedom unleashes. Are these the perilous times of the Bible? Folks, stay with us this morning as we look into Bible prophecy and current events to try to determine where we are on the timeline of God's plan.
Rick, yes, you sound a little distant, and you're not here in the studio, so where are you?
Yeah, it's nothing personal that I'm just sounding distant, but actually we are in Columbus, Ohio. We're at a Bible conference out here, and actually I have a special guest sitting here with me to address this subject of the perilous times of prophecy. David Rice is with us this morning. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Rick and Jonathan.
Good morning.
And David, where are you from?
I'm from San Diego, California.
So we sort of met in the middle. You know, we're in Columbus, Ohio. I went from Connecticut to Columbus. Of course, we didn't meet in the middle, really. He had the longer trip. And David and I are working together at this Bible conference here in Columbus. And David, just a little bit of quick background on who you are and why we asked you to come in and talk about this particular subject.
Well, I've been an elder in San Diego for many years, and I've especially enjoyed the study of prophecy because it gives us a glimmer for where we are on the stream of time. We're in a period of transition, dynamic things are happening, and the scriptures do show us the purpose of what's going on and what's going to come from it.
So we are going to be relying on David and some of his expertise in terms of looking at some Bible prophecy and determining where we are in the stream of time, and are these the perilous times? Right now, 2012, are these the perilous times that the Bible talks about? So, Jonathan, let's get started, and first we're going to read a scripture that is, in my mind, it's just plain old depressing. So, sorry, folks, but that's the way we're going to start you out this Sunday morning. We're going to look at the New Testament description of conditions that may be happening at the perilous during these perilous times. So, Jonathan, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5.
But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these.
Thanks for that. That's an awfully long list of an awfully large and nasty collection of characteristics. And as we have time this morning, we'll touch on some of those characteristics in terms of looking at the conditions of humanity, if you will. But the other part of this discussion, Jonathan, that's going to be most important is looking at the conditions of the world prophetically to see if, in fact, these are the perilous times of the Scriptures. And folks, as we develop this subject and we look into some of these prophecies, we'd love to get your thoughts. It's 866-985-4255. That's toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
All right, so we're going to unravel this question about the perilous times of Bible prophecy, David, by looking into the prophecies. And I want to get to some pointed things because there's a lot to talk about and not a lot of time to do it. So my first question is, how do the United States, the French Revolution, and the Napoleonic Wars fit into how we got to where we are? So I'm asking you directly, the United States, the French Revolution, and Napoleon, how does that fit into our present condition and circumstance?
Okay, well, you know, in prophecy, we have really a network of information that takes us through the history of the centuries from Jesus to the present. And it's punctuated with various world events that we can locate, both observationally and prophetically, even to date. Now, there was quite a bit of interest in the 1800s in the study of prophecies leading to the end of the age. And, in fact, in the early 1700s, there was a gentleman named Robert Fleming who suggested that by the close of the 1700s, there would be a revolution in Europe centered in France that would dislodge the powers that be and start us on a new path. And when the French Revolution came up in 1789 and the aftermath through 1793, the Great Terror in 1799, this really stimulated a lot of prophetic students to look closer at the prophecies of Daniel. We're going to talk about those prophecies of Daniel.
Okay.
Because that's where the roadmap is to take us to this time.
But so what you're saying is then that from a biblical perspective, you used an interesting word. You just said there's a roadmap. It essentially gives you directions to guide you through the time of the end.
That's correct. And in the early 1800s, in the aftermath of the French Revolution and the establishment of the United States as a free country for religious expansion across the waters, there was renewed interest in those prophecies because they began to see that, in fact, they had come to fruition. And based upon that, the whole of the Adventist movement in the early 1800s projected that we're living in the days when we should expect the return of Christ. Now, in the early first half of the 1800s, there was a large Adventist movement in the northeast of the United States and in Europe also. And all of this is the predicate for where Christians are today, expecting the consummation of things. Today, it seems to be pretty much understood in the Christian world that we're in the last days. But it's a very nebulous concept.
Right, what's going to happen? When's it going to happen?
That's right.
You know, what are the heavens going to open up? All of these things are part of a lot of different kinds of Christian thought.
Now, if you look at the backdrop of the book of Daniel, you will find in Daniel chapter 2 of a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had more than 2.5 centuries ago that project the whole flow of human history from that time forward. And in that vision, Nebuchadnezzar saw that there were four world governments that would come, starting with his, Babylon, and that would be succeeded by Medo-Persia when Cyrus came in and conquered Babylon. That would be succeeded by Greece, which in the 8th chapter of Daniel is named by name. And then one more powerful kingdom than all of those would arise. That clearly was the Roman Empire. That's the backdrop that just about every prophetic student that goes to Daniel recognizes.
Okay, just one quick point on that, and then we want to try to move to Daniel chapter 11 just to get into some details here. But you said that Greece in the book of Daniel was named by name?
Yes, it is.
Now, did Greece exist at the time that it was named?
As a people, but it didn't exist as an empire of any unified confederation. So it would be really odd to think that they would be the next world empire. But Daniel predicted that more than a century and a half in advance.
So, folks, get a sense of where we're going this morning and really put on your seatbelts, because we're looking at prophecies given thousands of years ago that will give us a sense of what's happening today. And, yes, the United States plays a part in the unfolding of this prophecy. So where you sit and where you're listening actually plays a part in all of this. And again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And we want you to hear, we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog, and you can only find that at ChristianQuestions.net.
So, Jonathan, let's take a quick look at Daniel chapter 11. David gave this as a reference for us to look at. Daniel 11, verses 40 to 42. And David, once Jonathan reads through this, just give us a sense of how you're seeing this fit in with this question about the United States, the French Revolution, and Napoleon.
At the end time, the king of the south will collide with him, and the king of the north will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships. He will enter countries, overflow them, and pass through. He will also enter the beautiful land, and many countries will fall. But these will be rescued out of his hand, Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon. Then he will stretch out his hand against other countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape.
So first of all, David, in this prophecy it says, at the end time.
Yes.
So, when you read through this prophecy, it talks about this king of the south and the king of the north. Who's being spoken of?
Okay, if you go back to the beginning of the 11th chapter, you find that this whole prophecy starts in the days of Cyrus and Alexander. And after Alexander's death, which the prophecy refers to, the king of Greece would be broken and four kings would come up for him. Two of those were particularly relevant to Israel, one in the north, Syria, and one in the south, Egypt. So the 11th chapter of Daniel goes to a prolonged and detailed history of the people of Israel and what they would experience between the conflict of these two kings, north and south. However, as time goes by in the 11th chapter, it jumps through to the time when the great dominating influence over Europe would arise, and that turns out to be, in the prophecies of Daniel, a religious system that dominated all of the other kings of Europe. And you find that referred to in Daniel 11:31. Daniel 11:31 is what Jesus looked back to in Matthew 24, when he says, when you see this happen, well, that means Daniel 11:31 was future from Jesus' day. He says, when you see this happen, then you know that the desolation that Daniel talked about is at hand. And when you go to the prophecies of Revelation, we see that whole desolating system referring to the system of Christendom that would dominate the European system politically for over 1,200 years. So when we come to Daniel 11th chapter, we're coming to the end of that period to find out how that system is finally going to fall and crumble and lead to the kingdom of Christ.
And so that really brings you right up to the 1700s, that late 1700s.
It does. Now, I got to backtrack a little bit to lay the groundwork for that.
Okay, can you do that in like 1 minute?
I think so.
Okay.
If you go to Daniel, the 7th chapter, you'll find another prophecy that deals with Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. But here it says that after the Roman Empire falls, one stout power will come to dominate the 10 countries of Europe, and it will last for 1,260 years. Now, it's cryptically written, but you'll find that in Daniel 7, 25, and 26. We'll get into more of that a little bit later. But
okay,
it's that time period that takes us to the late 1700s.
And, of course, we have the French Revolution and Napoleon on the scene at that point in time.
That is correct.
All right. So, as we begin to wrap up this section, folks, we're beginning to lay the groundwork for understanding the end times of prophecy, and the first thing we're realizing is the end times of prophecy is a long period of time. So stay with us, there's more to come.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick, with our special guest, David Rice. Coming up, prophecies and their literal fulfillment. This is Faith Strengthening. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick, with our special guest David Rice, and our subject this morning is, are we now in the perilous times of prophecy? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And, Jonathan, as we progress through this topic with our guest, David Rice, it becomes apparent that there are a few things we have planned to do for the program here that we're not going to be able to get to, such as listing out all of those things from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and kind of trying to figure out what they mean. So, folks, I'm going to encourage you to sign up for Seek Your Rewind, the full edition, that you can get at ChristianQuestions.net, and we will have that material. Any of it that we do not cover on the program this morning will be in the bonus material, only available at ChristianQuestions.net. Seek Your Rewind, the full edition. You sign up for it. It's an entirely free service with no obligation. Keep that in mind. So, Jonathan, as we begin to look at this topic, David was talking to us about Daniel and some of the prophecies and so forth that put a timeline in place right from the time of Babylon all the way up to the present time. And let's just touch on Daniel 7:25 to get a little bit more background. And then, David, once you fill in some of the gaps that we were talking about the 1700s, we want to talk about prophecy being fulfilled in the 1800s and 1900s. So, Jonathan, let's start with Daniel 7:25.
He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. He will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time.
All right, David, a little cryptic.
Very cryptic. This time, times, and half a time is the foundational time prophecy of Scripture. It appears twice in Daniel, and in various forms, it appears five times in the book of Revelation. So prophetic students, going back hundreds of years, have plied the waters of this prophecy. Isaac Newton lived between the 1600s and 1700s, lapsed into it. He wrote in his day that we have maybe 100 years to go before this period has finished. And that's why when Isaac Newton.
So Isaac Newton was a student of the Scriptures.
He is reported to have written more on Scripture than on science and mathematics. He's known more for science and mathematics.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah, prolific. In fact, some of the commentaries on Revelation, Daniel, the 11th chapter, and on the book of Revelation from his pen are still legitimate and worth studying today.
Amazing. All right, so you've got this time, times, and half a time as a key factor.
That's right. Now, to analyze this, you have one time, times plural, two more, and then a half. So it's a three and a half times, whatever the time is.
Right, that was my next question.
But if you look at all of the references in Revelation to this period, sometimes it's called 42 months. Well,
the time, times, and half a time is also called 42 months?
That is correct.
Okay, all right.
And if a time is one prophetic year of 12 months, three and a half times would be 42 months. So that does seem a correct connection, and that has been followed by prophetic students for centuries. But how many days in a month? Well, normally we speak about 30 days.
Unless you're February.
But let's give it a shot. And let's multiply 42 months times 30 days. The answer would be 1,260. And Revelation twice gives us exactly that figure, 1,260 days.
So you take the time, times, and half a time, the 42 months, and the 1,260, and what you're saying, it's all the same thing, just saying it in a different way.
Precisely.
Got it.
And because prophecy is fulfilled as a day for a year, this tells us that the prophecy encompasses 1,260 years in its scope. Now, this is not simply a parochial point of view. This is broadly people that deal with this prophecy, you know, for hundreds of years have looked at this as a 1,260-year time period.
All right, so give us now a sense of, all right, you've got 1,260 years. What happens? And obviously I want to know where it is,
okay,
and where it ends, and now what?
So when Jonathan read Daniel 7:25, it says this is a period of time when the saints of God are going to find a very difficult time. This would be during the Dark Ages, when the study of Scripture was very minimal, when oppressive powers were very great, and when Europe was dominated by a system governed from Rome that lasted for more than 1,000 years. So prophetic students mark this, and Revelation, the 17th chapter, pinpoints the city of Rome.
So give us a time frame then. You're talking about the Dark Ages, and most of us can kind of look at that and say, okay, we get that.
Right.
But where do we bring that? I'm prepping here. Where do
That's
we bring
right.
that to an end? Folks, listen, if you've got a thought, you've got a question, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
And we are looking at the timeline of prophecy as laid out in Daniel to pinpoint where we are right now in relation to the perilous times of the scriptures. So David, let's see if we can get how do you get to the end of this period of time?
Okay. If you find out in Rome what happened historically, you find out that when Constantine moved the center of the empire to Constantinople, Rome was kind of left at the mercy of various political influences, and not until about 200 years after that, in the days of Justinian, the emperor at Constantinople, did he send a force back to kind of clean up the mess at Rome. And in order to leave Rome in the hands of a strong force that was on his side, he left it in hands of the Pope. And the Pope became the dominant political force in that area for literally over 1,000 years. And it's that which marks the beginning of this time period. So now we go to the end of the 1260.
That's what I want to know.
And that's what takes us to the era of the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars. And that connects up with Daniel, the 11th chapter that Jonathan read earlier.
Okay.
Now, Jonathan read that at the time of the end, the king of the south would push. And that refers to the time of the Reformation, basically, when the Ottoman Empire pushed from the south into Christian Europe. They were finally stopped at Budapest when a Polish king came down and kind of rescued Europe. But then it says, the next part of Daniel 11, 40 to 42, then the king of the north would overwhelm him. And this refers to the Napoleonic Wars that went throughout Europe, broke up the whole political establishment of Europe, and really led to the time of the end that we're in today.
So what you're saying is in the Napoleonic Wars, this would be the late 1700s.
That's correct.
Would have led to the time of the end. Now I got to ask you a question about that, because when we think about the time of the end, you think that it's going to be a period of weeks or months or of a few years, and then everything's going to fall and crumble. And you're suggesting that the time of the end goes way back to the late 1700s, early 1800s?
Yes, because it's the time of the end of the 1260 years.
Okay.
And this is a period of history that is described from Daniel 11, 42, down through the end of 45, and then continues on. Now, at the end of chapter 11 of Daniel, we have wrapped up the whole Napoleonic Wars that broke up Europe and led to the modern era. Now, we look back in our day to World War I as the beginning of a great time of trouble. But historians say the seeds for that were laid in the disruptions that came from the French Revolution and swept over and broke up Europe.
So now, you know, folks, now I'm trying to take all these pieces and make it understandable, make them a little bit smaller. So the time of the end, the great time of trouble, are not necessarily exactly the same. They don't start at the same time.
That's correct.
All right. So the time of the end creates an environment in which the great time of trouble is going to start later.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, we'll see the connection between that in the end of chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12 of Daniel.
Okay. Go ahead.
Chapter 12 says, then the next prophetic event is Michael's going to stand up and there'll be a time of trouble such as was not since there was a nation. That brings us directly to World War I and its successor, the even more devastating World War II, and its follow-up successor, Armageddon, which is still pending.
Okay, wow, you just jumped through 200 years, and I don't even know what happened. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net. And if you don't want to call in, you can email Rick at
Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. It's a personal email. You get a personal response there as well. So let's take a look at Daniel chapter 12. Let's just read a couple of verses from Daniel 12 and see if we can get into the. You spent some time on the late 1700s and Napoleon establishing the end of this 1260 days. And now let's see if we can move forward a little bit to maybe the 18 and 1900s. Jonathan, let's go to Daniel chapter 12, verses 7, 11, and 12.
I heard the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. For the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1335 days.
All right, so David, up to this time, you've been talking about 42 months, time times a half a time, or the 1260 days. And so we're looking at that. Now this part of Daniel throws in these extra numbers. Now you got 1290 and 1335. Well, which is it? What is it? How come so many numbers? I have a hard time with too many numbers.
All right. This really is fairly straightforward. The point of this passage of prophecy is that there's not one, but three consecutive time prophecies, all starting from the same point, that bring us to three different stages towards the end of the age.
Okay, now, okay, so if we get that understood and we say, okay, these 1260 days ended right at the end of the 1700s.
Yes, I want to lay some groundwork for that again.
Okay, and then these other prophecies then obviously are following right after, so we're planting ourselves now into the 1800s.
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, if you go through one of the standard prophetic works that still extant in our day, it's The Prophetic Faith of Our Fathers by Edwin Fromm. You'll find in this four-volume set, writer after writer after writer cited that has concluded that these prophetic times closed in the late 1700s, the 1260 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very foundational prophecy. But if that's true, if 1799 was the year when the 1260 years closed, as I believe it is, now I'll give you the date, we haven't put a fine point onto all the calculations, that means that 30 years later should be the end of the 1290 years.
Right.
And in fact, what the scripture says in Daniel is that that would be a time when the wise begin to understand the unfolding prophecies of Daniel. So what do we see happen 30 years after? We see the beginning of the Advent movement. By Advent movement, I don't mean the movement of a particular denomination. I mean throughout the Protestant segments of Christianity, you find an in-depth study of the prophecies of Daniel leading to the time of the end.
1830, right in that area.
That's right. 1829, put a fine point.
Right.
But in this period of history, you'll find not only in England, but in America as well, a whole series of prophetic studies that concluded, number one, Christ's return was at hand soon. Secondly, the end of the age would see a disruption of the major political powers of this world, incident to the establishment of Christ's millennial kingdom. And all of this takes a long period of time, but we're in those days of transition. Now, the third of these time prophecies is the 1335 years.
Right.
That's where Daniel closes. Now, I'm surprised, actually, that this gets so little attention, but there it is, in Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 12, and it's the closing time prophecy of the book that takes us to the late 1800s. Well, what happened in the late 1800s? That's when Israel began to go back to their land, and gradually over a period of years, by 1948, they were reestablished as a nation. But in 1948, they asked the first prime minister, when did all this happen? He says it started way back in the late 1800s in 1878 with Petah Tikva, the first Jewish colony. So if these prophecies all lead us consecutively to the end of the age by the late 1800s, then by the late 1800s, we begin to see the fulfillment of prophecy that we have seen crystallized in our day. The first thing was the reestablishment of Israel.
All right, now, okay, slow down. So now what we're seeing is if we take these prophecies and we apply the numbers, folks, as David is suggesting, then we're seeing a continuity of events. And it's one of the just observation. We sit here in the year 2012 and we look at the last 30, 40, 50 years of technology, and we sort of think, well, everything's happened within the last 30, 40, or 50 years. But in fact, according to biblical prophecy, there has been a slow and continuous unfolding of the end times, starting with 1799, and this is all historical, which is the interesting thing. You've got a biblical statement made thousands of years before, and you have historical facts fulfilling the biblical statement. starting with 1799 up to 1829, 1874, 1878, that area, the development of Israel, all of these things were predetermined to happen at that point in time.
Yes.
So biblical prophecy then, when we look at the decade, the century rather, of the 1800s, it was a very fruitful century then for biblical prophecy coming true.
Oh, it was. And the Christian prophetic students were very much honed in this period.
All right. So we're looking at the 1800s. We've sort of dipped into the 1900s. And folks, as we continue, we want to figure out, looking into the 1900s, what does it look like for world wars? And are they mentioned specifically in the Bible as well?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick, with our special guest, David Rice. Our subject this morning, are we now in the perilous times of prophecy? Coming up, we'll talk about World War I, the Great Depression, and World War II. Is this described in the Bible? Well, that's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick, with our special guest, David Rice. And our subject this morning, are we now in the perilous times of prophecy? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, as you mentioned, we are here with our special guest, David Rice. He is a Bible scholar, a minister from San Diego, California. He and I are at a Bible convention in Columbus, Ohio. We've met in the Midwest, and we're taking this time to talk about the perilous end times that the Bible prophesied. We've looked so far at a whirlwind tour of a period of 1,260 years that ended in 1799, and we began looking at the events of the 1800s, all being biblically fulfilled events. And we were just talking at the end of the last segment about Israel becoming established. And Jonathan, let's go to Luke chapter 21, verses 29 to 31, sort of as a backdrop for that. And then, David, once we get that scripture on the table, I'm going to ask you to sort of connect the dots and now look toward what the world wars accomplished in terms of biblical prophecy.
Then he told them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, as soon as they have put forth leaves, you see it and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near.
So now, David, this is part of Jesus' great prophecy of his own return.
Right.
And he's giving conditions and so forth, but he's talking about trees.
That's right. Well, prophetic students and a lot of other people recognize that when the fig tree is referred to in Scripture, it refers symbolically to the nation of Israel. Trees represent nations. And Jesus is saying, when you see Israel put out its new leaves of growth as a nation, regathered after so many centuries, you know that the kingdom of God is near. So one of the sparkling prophetic developments has been the reestablishment of Israel. But I want to connect the thread here back to those prophetic days in Daniel.
Okay, so now, the 1260, the 1290, and the 1335.
That's right.
This can be confusing.
That's okay. The 1799, the fundamental prophecy, the 1260 years, the fundamental prophecy takes us to 1799.
Right.
The next one to 1829, and the next one to 1874. Just to add the numbers, you see 1335 days takes 1874. Based upon that, many prophetic students, decades before World War I, predicted that in 1914, 40 years later, we should see a time of trouble begin such as never was. Now, how did they predict that? Well, because they looked at the first advent of Jesus, and they said, from the time Jesus' ministry began in 29 until the judgment began in 69 against Jerusalem, was a period of 40 years. So they said maybe these last prophetic days taking you to 1874 are a 40-year indicator ahead of the great time of trouble to begin. Now we know that Daniel, the 12th chapter, says after these prophetic days, the great time of trouble would ensue. So based on this, they predicted that in 1914 there would be a great time of trouble. So now we see how history unfolded. 1914 was exactly the year when the first great war, World War I, began. and it accomplished something for the regathering of Israel. Prior to this time, the...
All right, wait. So let me back this up now. So you have the time prophecy. So essentially, all of those Daniel time prophecies end in 1874.
That is correct.
But now you're saying, okay, we take this 40-year leap, and you base it on the beginning of Jesus' ministry until the beginning of what essentially is the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yes, and the point here is that when the end of the Jewish age came by the advent of Christ, then 40 years later the judgment would begin. And so if these prophecies take you to the end of the age, then 40 years later the time of judgment would begin.
Okay.
But there's more. I'll just tell you what it is.
What a surprise!
I'll just tell you what it is, but I won't extrapolate too much.
Okay.
There was, from Leviticus, the 26th chapter, a prophecy that Israel would have seven large periods of punishment that would end in 1914. And therefore, 1914 was identified as a prophetic year, even additionally, by the prophecy.
So by a whole different set of rules of engagement, if you will, you have Israel identified and 1914 coming up again.
That's right. The power,
different way of figuring.
The powers that suppressed Israel would be broken up starting in 1914.
Okay.
Now, I won't go into details, but there were both of these indicators showed 1914.
So you have two different separate individual proofs, both coming from the scriptures.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Now, hold that thought. Jonathan, why don't we go to the phones at this point, and then we'll come back to see if we can pull in a little bit more on the great wars and what they accomplished.
All right. Well, we have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning. Good morning, David Rice.
Good morning.
I appreciate your expertise and your dedication to Bible prophecy.
So, Julius, are we confusing you yet?
Nope.
No, good.
But you know what, Rick? I'm going to have to get the tape, the CD, to study this. There's much to it, a lot to it, and I appreciate David's dedication to it. Interesting. Here's an irony. This is what's ironic about your program this morning.
Okay.
Except for perilous times, at which the answer is yes, we are in them right now. Except for them, you would not be in the air.
Yeah, that's true.
You would not be able to broadcast. The increase of knowledge is as part of the end times in which we live. They're predicted by the prophet Daniel, as David has brought out.
Mm-hmm.
So, key point, I think David mentioned the word transition. I think we are in a time of transition, and that is so meaningfully brought out by Zechariah 14:7. I'm not going to read it in the interest of time. But there gives a paradox, a transition, where indeed we would see this great change as we are seeing right now into the new world order. A couple of scriptures come to mind also to confirm the evil times in which we live. Isaiah 5:20, I'm not going to read it, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, and compliments 2 Timothy 3:1-5. That's 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And it's an interesting scripture. Of course, we cannot ignore the fig tree, Israel.
Right.
That's a critical part of the mix. I appreciate you folks mentioning that. But one final scripture which connects to the restless masses that we see nowadays.
Okay.
And that's Joel 3:10. The prophet Joel, chapter 3, verse 10, speaks about the weak saying, and in Galilee, they're doing this. I am strong. So just those are just part of some of the verses to complement what your discussion is this morning. Thank you, David. Thank you, folks.
Thank you. Appreciate your call, Julius.
And you can tell that Julius loves prophecy.
Yes.
He's wanting to extend and deepen the conversation, and we appreciate that. Thanks so much, Julius, for the call and for the additional scriptures and the additional look at our present time. And, David, our time grows short here in this segment as we're going to wrap up this first hour. So can we focus in on what these world wars, what were they there for?
Okay. The point of the world wars is to break up the old powers of Europe and allow Israel to be regathered as a nation. And on 1914, when World War I broke up, the Holy Land was in control by the Ottoman Empire.
Right.
To everybody's surprise, the Ottoman Empire, which was kind of helped and nourished by the British Empire, joined Germany on the other side of England in the World War. So England invaded the Near East, took control of the Holy Land, and declared their intent to make it a national homeland for the Jewish people. So the big thing that came out of World War One was the opportunity for national expansion in Palestine by Israel. This didn't really come to fruition until the Second World War.
Right. So the intention was put in place, but the actual activity didn't go anywhere.
That's right. So with all the carnage and destruction of World War One and World War Two, the one thing that built out of both was finally the reestablishment of the nation of Israel in 1948. And that's what Jesus referred to when the fig tree puts forth its leaves. But then it said, and all the trees.
Right, so you have a fig tree and then other kinds of trees.
That's right. So it was after the World War II that the colonial empires began to break apart, and the various nations of Indonesia, Indochina, Africa, and all of the colonies of the political of the major powers of Europe began to be independent. And now we have a proliferation of countries, all the trees putting forth their leaves.
All right, so you've got all of this development. And again, I want to put that in the backdrop of the time of the end,
yes,
if you will, 1799, and then the great time of trouble, which comes, when you go 1799 to 1914, that's a long time.
It's a long period of transition, and that's the period of time when these three prophetic periods were coming to maturity, 1799, 1829, 1874, and then 40 years later, the time of trouble.
So one of the things that I'm getting from this, then, is that if we're looking at biblical prophecy through these eyes, and we're seeing these what we would consider very long periods of time, it kind of gives us a hint that maybe things don't happen as fast as we, from a human perspective, would expect them to.
You know, if we think of everything wrapping up in a moment, yeah, that's not the way the scriptures present it. They show us historical movements that are preparing a transition of the ages.
And when you say a transition, you're talking over 100 years.
Over 100 years, but the transition is remarkable because we're going into the thousand-year kingdom of Christ that was promised so long ago. So the transition from the kingdoms of this world into the kingdom of Christ is a period of great turmoil, and there's punctuated by so many prophetic events, you have to have prophecies telling us about a period of time.
All right, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And it would be an important subject to go to our ChristianQuestions.net to take a look at CQ Rewind. This is important.
Yeah, and Jonathan, there's like a million things that we're going to have to put into the bonus material on CQ. Not a million, you know what I mean. But just we've got a bunch of scriptures here written that we're not even reading because just time does not permit. So the bonus material is going to be probably extended version. We encourage you to sign up for that. It's only available at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind, the full edition. And folks, listen, we're getting close to wrapping up this first hour. In the second hour, just to let you know what's coming, we're going to talk about the Soviet Union and biblical prophecy. We're going to talk about Islam and biblical prophecy. So you really want to stay with us for those things because there's so much more to unfold in terms of what the scriptures say about not only the end times, but the great time of trouble, and most importantly, where do we sit right now in relation to all of these things? All right, so David, you've worked us up through, and I don't know how you got this far in such a short time. Nice job. Getting us through the prophecies of Daniel and bringing us right to the very, very end times, if you will.
And yes.
So the great time of trouble. So you're saying that we're in this great time of trouble.
Oh, we are. We've
okay.
seen World War One, World War Two. Armageddon is impending.
So Armageddon's coming, but it's like these spasms of trouble.
That's exactly right.
So we've got the Great War, which was World War One, World War Two, and one of the things that was accomplished by these great world wars, besides all of the carnage and the difficulty, was they paved the way for Israel to be reestablished as a nation.
Yes, and the important point is that Israel is going to be where the kingdom of Christ breaks out.
Okay, all right. So I presume that we're just about ready to wrap up this hour here. So say that again. Israel is
going to be the center where the kingdom of Christ breaks out on earth.
Okay, so folks, as we wrap this hour up, it gives us a whole lot to look forward to in this next hour, so please stay with us. Much to talk about with our special guest, David Rice, our being in the end times right now. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again after the news and all of then. But until then, are we now in the perilous times of prophecy? You betcha. What does it mean? We'll get to it. Till then, think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
David Sarnoff once said, "We cannot banish dangers, but we can banish fear. We must not demean life by standing in awe of death." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And, Jonathan, what is our topic this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, are we now in the perilous times of prophecy? And we have our special guest, David Rice, with us.
And, Jonathan, our theme scripture is?
2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come.
So we're talking about the end times and the prophecies and time frames and so forth. And David Rice, you are here with us. You are from?
San Diego, California.
And you and I are in Columbus, Ohio at a Bible conference. That's why we are so far away. And we in the first hour talked about an awful lot of stuff. And I'm going to ask you to do something almost impossible. And that is give us a recap of the time prophecies of Daniel that we spoke of in the first hour, the 1260, the 1290, and the 1335 days, and where they bring us to.
Okay, you have in Daniel the 7th chapter and the 12th chapter, a series of three time prophecies that take us up to 1799, 1829, 1874, and then 40 years later, connecting to another old time prophecy that takes you to 1914. The point of these prophecies is to tell us a period of time called the time of the end, during which the transition of the ages would begin to occur. And with 1914, we have the beginning of the predicted great time of trouble. Have World War I then, some decades later, World War II, and Armageddon still impending. And through all of this disruption, what we see is the breaking down of the old powers that restrained the growth of Israel, the reestablishment of Israel. And Israel is the nation where prophecy says the kingdom of Christ is going to be established.
So all that you missed in the first hour if you weren't with us, so we want to encourage you to go to christianquestions.net. Hopefully later on today I will be able to get that up on the website so you can catch up, if you will. But the other part of it is, if you weren't able or you're not able to get that first hour, you can always sign up for a CQ Rewind. And Jonathan, actually, before you get into that, I want to welcome in our audience at WNOX 100.3 FM in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're glad you're joining us for this hour. And we want you to, as we told the audience in the first hour, buckle your seatbelts. We are walking through prophecy and the time of trouble and the kingdom of Christ and all of this, all in less than an hour. So, Jonathan, give us a quick rundown on what CQ Rewind is and how it works.
Sure. Well, if you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320. And you can contact us at the web on the web at christianquestions.net. Now, there are many archive programs on a variety of subjects. Again, that's christianquestions.net. Also, at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first is the summary version, and that includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scriptural citations. It's a free download. The second is CQ Rewind, the full edition. Now, that's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts, transcript, and fully quoted scriptures plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Now, that's also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them out at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind. You heard the program. Now see it as well.
All right. Thanks for that, Jonathan. And, folks, we really do want to encourage you to follow through on that. It's a free service. There's no obligation. It's easy to opt out if you want to. So give it a try and see what you think. All right, David, let's focus in now. We've got, and I know you gave a very, very brief history of bringing us up into pretty much our modern day, because now we're post-World War II.
Yes.
All right, now, let me ask you a question. The Soviet Union and the crumbling of the Soviet Union.
Yes.
Is that part of biblical prophecy as well?
It is. It enters into the two scriptures that we closed with recently about the all the trees, Israel blossoming as the fig tree, and then all the trees. That after World War II, the colonial empires were broken up, and we had a lot of new independent nations. And that really was climaxed by the breakup of the Soviet Empire and the release of very subject peoples to become their own independent nations. And I think this was the capping off, as it were, of that phase of the trees and independent nations shooting forth.
All right, so then we're looking at the see, this is fascinating to me because as we discuss these things, these are the kinds of things we don't normally think of in terms of Bible prophecy. You know, we think of sort of when you think of Bible prophecy, we think of very specific kinds of events. We think, first of all, many of us think of earthquakes and fires and great trouble and the heavens opening up and all of those types of things. And but when you put it into modern-day terms, and we look at Israel as a nation, many of us do think of that. But we think of World War I and World War II, and now what you're saying is all of these other nations that just developed, that's part of the unfolding during this great time of trouble.
That's correct. Now, we have a prophecy, of experience that happened to the prophet Elijah many years ago, where Elijah was given a little prophetic glimpse of what the time of trouble would be and the various stages of the time of trouble.
Now, did he know that he had this glimpse of the time of trouble?
He saw a vision that God gave him. He doesn't know all the meaning, of course. The prophets didn't know the meaning of all the visions that they had.
Now, why would God do that, incidentally? Just a sidelight.
Very clear. Peter says this is for us to know and to put the seeds of thought in antiquity into the prophecy so that Christians at the end of the age would have enlightenment. Even Daniel. We talk considerably about his prophecies.
Right.
When he finished all of this, God told him, shut up the book, seal the vision. It's not for you to know, Daniel. It's for the time of the end, and then the understanding of these things will come to pass.
Okay, interesting. And folks, if you have a thought, we're looking at biblical prophecy, we're looking at the time of the end and the great time of trouble, and now even how the Soviet Union fits into the biblical prophecies, give us a call at 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And again, we have our special guest here with us, David Rice from San Diego, California. He and I are sitting in the home of our friend Todd. Incidentally, Jonathan, just to put some perspective on that, several months ago, Todd was actually a guest with us. Remember, we did the program on the Great Pyramid?
Yes, I do.
And we're at his house.
All right.
Sitting in his office right now. So, all right. David, continue. You brought up Elijah. I got you off track on that. I apologize. But you said Elijah got a glimpse of this great time of trouble that you're saying we are now in.
He did. Now, in Elijah's experience, this is in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, he traveled 40 days to get to Mount Horeb. And at Mount Horeb, God said, come to the mouth of a cave, and I want to show you a little glimpse of what's coming. And so Elijah went to the mouth of the cave, and he saw a great wind that rolled over and broke the rocks. And after the wind, it says, then I felt a great earthquake.
He told you, earthquake.
You're right. And when you said earthquake, I thought, what's coming? And after the earthquake, a great fire that swept over the hillside. But in every case, Elijah said, the Lord was not in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. But after these three stages of dramatic revealment, then it says, I heard a still small voice, and that's where the Spirit of the Lord would be found. Now, the point of this is, as a vision of the time of trouble, 40 days that it took to get there, a day for a year? Well, there's the 40 years from 1874 to 1914.
Yeah, I was going to say, the 40. I remember the 40 from the first hour, and linking the end of that time prophecy of 1,335 days. And again, it prophecies in the scriptures, a day for a year is a very common threat.
That is correct.
Okay, and just bringing that out again for the folks that weren't able to be with us in the first hour. So that 1,335, you're saying, ends in 1874, 40 days or 40 years goes to 1914, and
That's right. Of course
you have the World War One. All right, so back to Elijah.
So, starting in 1914, with the winds of war. Now, in the book of Daniel, winds are a picture of war. The winds that swept over the great sea developed the great empires of the past. So the winds of war were the first part of the time of trouble, and we saw World War One and World War Two. Two parts of this wind episode, followed by the earthquake.
So the wind then from Elijah, you're saying, is a direct correlation to war.
Yes.
And specifically World War One and World War Two.
That is correct.
Okay, got it.
After World War Two, we get into the earthquake phase, where the colonial powers are broken up and new nations emerge. That's the same as the appearance of all those trees that Jesus spoke about.
So, earthquake, I'm a little harder time just putting that one together. Earthquake,
all right,
and the development of nations.
Symbolically, an earthquake refers to a revolution or a breakup of old existing powers.
All right.
And, in fact, in Revelation, now we didn't cover this point, Revelation 11:13, we talked about the French Revolution early in the program.
Mm-hmm.
That scripture in Revelation 11:13 talks about an earthquake in which only one-tenth of the countries fell. And that, of course, was the French Revolution. So an earthquake refers to revolution and upheaval in which old countries and powers are broken and new are emerged.
Okay, so the earthquake is the breaking up of what's old, which ends up making room for that which is new.
That is correct.
So then Elijah goes these 40 days to Mount Horeb, and he sees this great wind come through,
right,
and the wind is symbolic of the winds of war, specifically World War One and World War Two.
That's right.
All right. Then he sees an earthquake.
Yes.
And the earthquake, you're saying, gives us a sense of the shaking up and the breaking up of old systems so that eventually new systems can come through that.
That's right. And that breaking up of the old powers of Europe really was climaxed, I think, by the breakup of the Soviet Union. Now, if that's true, then the next stage, this fire phase of Islamic insurgency and disruption, should follow shortly after the breakup of the Soviet Union.
Okay, now I don't know how you made that jump to Islamic stuff, so we're gonna have to slow down on that. So, folks, listen. If you have a thought, this can be a little bit complicated, but it's awfully fascinating because we're really talking about the great time of trouble, and we're talking about our time. So give us a call with your thoughts or your questions, 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Very fascinating subject to matter. We have with us our special guest, David Rice, from San Diego, California. He and I are sitting here in Columbus, Ohio, at a Bible conference. And so we're looking at, right now, we're zeroing in on Elijah and the vision, the wind, the earthquake, and now the fire. And you mentioned the Islamic uprising with fire. So first of all, before we get to the Islamic portion, fire representative in the scriptures. What do we look for when we see fire?
Well, fire is the last stage of the trouble, and fire is what consumes the rubble. And I think it refers to sometimes we say it refers to anarchy, but it's not rampant anarchy. It's a different kind of trouble that's not like it was where standing nations were in armed conflict in World War One and World War Two.
Like the winds.
That's correct. This is different. It's a more intangible, more difficult trouble that sweeps through and creates great devastation. And what we are seeing after the breakup of the old colonial empires, the next threat that really emerged was the Islamic insurgency. It's not as though it's a war against this nation to this nation. It's this movement that is creating trouble everywhere in the world.
Okay.
And it's kind of this fire that is creeping through. Now, after the breakup of the Soviet Union, the next world events that really engulfed us was, in fact, the Gulf War. And that was followed by a second Gulf War and the war in Afghanistan.
Okay, hold those thoughts because we're getting near to the end of this segment, and we're going to want to develop that a little bit further. So we're going to look at radical Islam and its role in the unfolding of biblical prophecy, and we're focusing on that by looking at Elijah's experience of the vision on Mount Horeb of the earthquake, the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. So, again, we're bringing ourselves right up to our present day.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick with our special guest, David Rice. Our subject, are we now in the perilous times of prophecy? What about radical Islam? What about the current world crisis? Are these prophetic as well? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick with our special guest, David Rice. Our subject this morning, are we now in the perilous times of prophecy? To be a part of our program, call toll free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And folks, if you're just joining us, oh boy, we've been looking at some biblical prophecies, a timeline, if you will, of the biblical prophecies laid out to show us what's going to be happening at these end times and the great time of trouble. And we've walked all the way through the prophecies that walked us through the Christian age right up to 1799, the fulfillment of the 1260 days of Daniel, to 1829, the fulfillment of 1290 days of Daniel, to 1874, the fulfillment of the 1335 days of Daniel. All of these numbers are written in the scriptures and just putting it together. And then we're looking at the 40-year period from 1874 to 1914, which brings us to the Great Wars. And David, you are now currently talking about Elijah and his experience on Mount Horeb, where he sees the wind, the winds of wars, the earthquake, the breaking up of the current systems, which makes room for the new nations. And then we were just touching on the fire that he sees. And that fire, you were saying, had something to do with Islam.
Yes.
And some of the current turmoil. So now we're right up to today.
Yes, I think so. Now, in Psalm 83, we have a passage that really refers to the animosity in the Middle East between the Arab and Israelis.
Okay, here's what I want to do. I want you to hold that thought for a moment, okay, because I don't want you to have to break it into pieces. Jonathan, why don't we go to the phones?
All right, we have Beth from Tennessee. Welcome, Beth, to Christian Questions.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning,
morning,
David.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to say, this is like a big, fat, juicy steak on a plate. This is just so awesome to know. Anyone who says the Bible is not relevant, you know, they're just, this is everything we need. This is our history. This is our present. This is, you know, how we go through the future. This is the living Word of God and His prophecy and His breath that is true, and it's just so awesome. And I'm sorry, I had to tell you guys, this is really great. I really am enjoying this show, and
so,
you guys have a good day.
Okay, so Beth, tell us what you really think.
This is just, I mean, it's so fascinating and so relevant and so alive, and that this could have been given to Daniel in secret, and that this is coming to fruition. It's just really, I can't understand it. I really can't. But,
thanks. We
thank you. Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Take
okay,
care, Beth.
Take care. And you know, she said something, David, that I just want to touch on before we get back to Psalm 83. You know, she said it's so alive, and the fact that God gave it to Daniel in secret.
Yeah.
And so what that does is it gives you this burst of faith because you see the seeds of understanding planted and yet just not revealed until so much later. And now that we're in the middle of this time, all of these things can be understood, and it gives us hope in the midst of a lot of trouble.
Exactly.
So, Beth, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it, and we love your enthusiasm. Keep it up. Folks, if you do have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And if you missed our first hour, you can see it through CQ Rewind and hear it by logging on to ChristianQuestions.net for our exclusive bonus material, rewind content, and full audio files. No cost to you, just a quick trip to ChristianQuestions.net.
All right. David, let's get back. You were talking about Psalm 83, and I'm just going to ask you to recap what you began to say with Psalm 83.
Psalm 83 really is the focus of prophecy on the antagonism in the Middle East that we see today. And this is a predicate for Armageddon that's coming. Maybe you want to have that read, Psalm 83.
Okay. All right, Jonathan, let's go to Psalm 83, verses 4 to 7.
They have said, "Come, and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they have conspired together with one mind. Against you they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagritites, Gabal and Ammon and Amalek and Philistia and the inhabitants of Tyre."
David, just first of all, Jonathan, good job getting through those names.
I don't know how good that was, but I did it.
That statement, "they will wipe them out as a nation that the name of Israel be remembered no more," that's scary.
There's no fodder desire that the Arab nations have. And the reason is because the concept of Islam is that once they have dominated an area, they've got it for good. And since through the Ottoman Empire, Islam was the dominant religion of even Palestine, that religion feels that that is theirs for good, and therefore the Jewish state is really not belong, according to their point of view. And because of this undergirding thinking, there will be this antagonism until it is resolved in Armageddon.
And we are seeing this antagonism develop almost on a daily basis. And folks, that's one of the things that you got to look at, and you've got to understand that we're talking about biblical prophecies written thousands of years ago. And again, and I can't help but go back to those words that Jonathan just read for us, "let us wipe them out as a nation that the name of Israel be remembered no more." You could almost quote verbatim Ahmadinejad saying that, you know, I just wipe them out. We don't want them to exist. I mean, there have been places where they make a world map and they leave Israel off and they call it Palestine. You know, it's just this, and you say, well, how come all of this incredible turmoil over this little tiny nation the size of New Jersey with 7 million people as citizens, why don't you just leave them alone?
And Rick, this week I heard on the radio that they said, finally, we've now got them surrounded.
Great. Great.
Well, then they have them just where God wants them. Ready for the last episode. But Armageddon is impending, and we're going to look at Armageddon in Revelation 16 directly in a moment. But the prelude to Armageddon is two things. It's like a double-sided coin. First, it's the buildup in the Middle East. And what we see today is almost exclusively the Middle East is the focus. You had the Gulf War number one, you had the Afghanistan problem, you had the Gulf War number two, and now you have what this sometimes referred to as the Arab Spring. But you notice what's happening in those governments where the Arab Spring comes, as it were, when old governments are overthrown, the radical Islamic influence becomes stronger and stronger. So where it has intensified the problem in the Middle East against Israel. Even today, Egypt today is taking a politically more difficult stance against Israel than they did under Mubarak.
Yeah, now hold your thinking for one second there, because as we look at those events, and folks, obviously these are the events that are happening yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we've worked through prophecy right up to right now. A lot of the, quote, Arab Spring, when last year and a half, when it began to develop, there was a lot of excitement saying, ah, democracy will finally begin to reign in the region, and you're gonna push old things out and you're gonna let democracy come in, but that's not what's been happening.
It's not at all, and it's unfortunate. It'd be wonderful if it could just peacefully go the other way. Right now we're embroiled, nations are embroiled in this issue of Syria. But, you know, there's great sympathy for the fighters in Syria that are being overwhelmed by the government. But if they were victorious, would it mean more democracy or more radical opposition and turmoil in the Middle East? We'll see how it develops. But it looks like there's really not going to be a resolution to the Middle East problem until Armageddon.
Okay. You know, I guess that's bad news, but that is good news.
It'll be resolved.
It'll be resolved. It's just going to take some more time and effort. Folks, if you have a thought, if you have a question, our special guest is David Rice. He is from San Diego, California. He and I are here in Columbus, Ohio at a Bible conference working together. And we are talking about the great time of trouble, the end times of prophecy, and the scriptures are loaded with detailed information about our present day. Give us a call at 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And stay connected to Rick and I at ChristianQuestions.net, no matter the day or time.
Also, if you don't want to call but you'd like to email, you can do so at Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. That is a personal email address, and you will get a personal response there. All right, so David, let's continue. We're looking at, you know, you're focusing on the Middle East and the crisis there, and the world at this point is in crisis as well. Is this all part of prophecy?
It is, and if we're going to move to Armageddon, we really have to introduce it with Revelation 16. Verse 12.
Yeah, and so Jonathan, we're gonna move ahead and start with Armageddon now because we've got Armageddon, and the most important thing we're gonna talk about Armageddon. All this, whenever people even say the word Armageddon, you know, you get shivers down your spine because you have this vision of this horrible, horrible, horrible time. I gotta ask you just one quick question. So, does the world end December 2012 like the Mayans said?
Well, of course, the Mayans didn't really say that at all. As a matter of fact, they had a variety of calendars that would prognosticate different dates, and never did they think it would end at that point. But the answer is no. 2012 is premature. We've got too much prophecy to undergo before the kingdom of Christ is finally established on the earth. And that's where this is all building toward, by the way. It's not the destruction of the earth. It's the upsetting of present powers so that the kingdom of Christ can be established.
So it's the removal of one thing to bring in something else better.
That's correct. Very much better.
And eternal.
That's correct.
All right. See, so folks, there is good news in the midst of all of this turmoil. All right, let's get started then a little bit on Armageddon. What is Armageddon?
Well, technically, in Revelation, there are a series of seven plagues. And Armageddon is the last of those. Now, we've seen these distresses come upon the earth, and we're not going to enumerate all of them, but we're just going to focus on the last one. Can we introduce that with that scripture, Revelation 16, 12, and 16?
Okay, Jonathan, so we're on 7, Revelation 16, verses 12 and 16.
The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and it was dried up so that they would be prepared for the kings from the east. And they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon.
Now that's where you get Armageddon. That's the scripture.
That's the one.
That's the one.
That didn't sound terrible.
Didn't sound terrible because this is the prelude. This is the buildup. Plague 6 is the buildup. And Plague 7 is, he says, he poured out the seventh vial and it is done. And now all the problems that constitute Armageddon follow thereafter. But the reason we want to go here first is the prelude to Armageddon. We've talked about the buildup in the Middle East, the antagonism against the nation of Israel. The flip side to this is the Western economies that are drying up, that are leading to the crescendo of events. The Middle East is one thing, but the power of the West, the economic power of the West that dries up, is referred to in this prophecy. Now, in this prophecy, it's couched in terms of what happened to ancient Babylon when it fell. And ancient Babylon fell to the armies of King Cyrus. Now, we know that Isaiah 45 says that Cyrus is a picture of the Lord's anointed, our Lord Jesus. So the conquest of Cyrus, of old Babylon, is a picture of how Christ is going to kind of put down the governments that are now to establish his kingdom. Now, you notice...
Because you can't have room for both.
That's right.
And I think that's such an important point, because many of us look at this and say, well, let's take what we have and turn it into the kingdom of Christ.
That would be nice, but, you know, it would be so imperfect. We'd rather establish it the right way, as Christ is going to do.
So, of necessity, you're saying there needs to be a removal of what is, not a development of what is.
That is correct.
And I think that's a huge thought. Folks, as we wrap up this segment, we're looking at the development of prophecy right now. We're looking at Armageddon right now, and we're looking at what's going to happen after Armageddon right now.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick, with our special guest, David Rice. Subject, are we now in perilous times in prophecy? Armageddon, what is it, and what follows it? Well, that's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick, with our special guest, David Rice, and our subject, are we now in the perilous times in prophecy? To be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
And, Jonathan, as I sit here with David during the commercial break, we were talking a little bit about the establishment or the development of the Armageddon phase of this great time of trouble. And David, before the break, you said something about this prophecy in Revelation 16, 12, and 16 was actually showing the economic turmoil.
Yes.
of the West.
Yes.
I need some more explanation on that.
Okay. You know, the prophecy that builds to Armageddon is couched in terms of the fall of ancient Babylon to King Cyrus. King Cyrus, the kings of the East in this passage, refer to Jesus, of course, is King Cyrus, and his armies in heaven are the powers that will institute the kingdom. But the point is that when Cyrus conquered Babylon, he did it by diverting the river Euphrates. And therefore, the river Euphrates that flowed through the city of Babylon, that brought its trade, its commerce, and made Babylon the great wealthy kingdom that it was, that was dried up, leading to its overthrow. So when Revelation says, this is a symbol of how the powers of wealth today are going to be dried up so that Christ's kingdom can replace it, that's what we see today. We see Islam on one hand, that's the prophecy of Psalm 83 we read, but on the other hand, in the Western countries, we see a withering of the financial strength of the Western economies. Now, you know, before the Soviet Union fell, there was these two competing economic approaches, and the Soviet Union and communism didn't really endure. So that left capitalism as the last great hope for the world. And, you know, for 10 years, it seemed to go onward and upward. But now, suddenly, about the year 2000 with the stock market collapse, and then later another impact with the housing market, and in 2008, the real almost, you know, devastating loss.
Right.
Now we're building back from that, but it's going to come in cycles. But there's a gradual withering of the value of the economies of the Western capitalistic world.
So that being the case, and folks, obviously, go online and check a few articles, and you can see what David is saying is absolutely true, because these are current events happening today, tomorrow, and the next day. So, but you're saying that is sort of a precursor to Armageddon?
That's what the scripture says. It says the withering of the river Euphrates that brought commercial life to Great Babylon, that is a precursor to gathering the nations of the earth to the battle of the great day, which it says is Armageddon.
So what happens in Armageddon?
Okay, if you look in the prophecies in the Old Testament.
And folks, if you have a thought, now would be the time. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Okay, sorry. Back to Armageddon.
In the prophecies of the Old Testament, like Joel, the third chapter, it is at Israel that the nations are gathered. So Revelation says, gather them to Armageddon. Joel says, gather them to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That's where I will hold judgment over the nations. Now connect this to another thread of thought. Christians are very familiar with Ezekiel 38 and 39. Gog from the north coming down with his allies against Israel. All of this is the prelude to Armageddon, and that's where Armageddon begins, in the Middle East. That's where Ezekiel, the prophet, says on behalf of God, then my fury will come up in my face and God will fight against those nations, preserve Israel. But now Israel has a problem. If Israel is going to be the center of the kingdom of Christ, how can that possibly be unless their faith is produced in their Messiah? So Zechariah 12:10 says, when he gathers all nations against Jerusalem, then he's going to raise the prophets of old to lead Israel in their dire circumstance, and they will explain to Israel that Jesus, their Messiah, is the one that is saving them. And that's where Zechariah 12:10 says, then they will look unto him whom they pierced and mourn for him as one mourns for their only son, and be in bitterness with this repentance of what they have done and rejected so long. And then they will be humbled to be the nucleus of the kingdom of God on earth.
So you're painting a picture, if I get this straight. It's sort of building on what Jonathan said earlier that he read or saw somewhere, that we finally have Israel surrounded.
Yeah.
And so you've got the nations of the earth, if you will, coming against Israel, and it looking entirely hopeless.
Yes, for Israel it doesn't look good.
And so in the context of it looking hopeless for Israel, you're saying there will be a resurgence of great faith in Israel.
Well, there will be a deliverance from the adversary, from this invasion. And in that deliverance, the prophets of the Old Testament will be raised back to lead Israel to victory and to explain that it was Jesus, their Messiah, that has produced this victory for them.
So a very difficult time for Israel at that point. Now, in the middle of that, what happens to the rest of the world? I mean, is everybody like all happy and singing, or are they all at war? Are they all in poverty? Are they in anarchy?
It's going to be the head of the time of trouble. Now, you know, even the great time of trouble is relative. It was not universal worldwide anarchy and no structure at all. No, the kingdoms will be broken. The strength of kingdoms will be broken. And there will be difficulty. How, you know, the precision to identify, well, we'll see when we get there. You know, we can't identify every little element.
You are a wise student of prophecy. That's right.
But I think we have to step back and see what is this whole thing about in the divine plan of God. And to really understand how the kingdom of God on earth works and how it integrates in the whole plan of God, we have to recognize there are two separate ages of redemption. There has been, from the time of Jesus until Armageddon, say, there's been an age of redemption for those that believe into Christ by faith.
True followers.
And it says in Revelation 20, verse 6, that during the thousand-year kingdom, they will be with Christ in glory and be the new rulers with Christ.
Ruling what?
Ruling the rest of the world during the kingdom of Christ for the benefit and uplift of the world of mankind.
After Armageddon.
Exactly. That's the purpose of Armageddon, to install in this period of transition this new government of earth in the Middle East that will gradually expand outward to bless all families of the earth.
So does this have anything to do with that still small voice then in Elijah that we actually never got to?
It's the still small voice of peace. That's where the Lord is in his spirit is going to be found.
So you've got winds, the winds of war. You've got earthquake, the shaking up of the nations of what is, making room for what will be. You've got fire, which is a destructive power that really brings so much down and causes so much chaos. And then you have the still small voice.
That is exactly right. So after the fire of Armageddon is going to come the most wonderful time the earth has ever known. So we're on the precipice of difficulty, but it's going to get much better after this wave.
You know, this reminds me, and I'm going to ask you to give us a scriptural description of what you see coming with this kingdom of God in a moment, but this reminds me very much of the process of giving birth and the waves of pain and the waves of suffering and the agony. I mean, look, my wife had three children. I was there for all three, and I'm telling you, it's not a pretty picture. But what happens after is the most beautiful, and it's kind of ironic that it's such a still small baby that you have there, and all of a sudden the pain, while you still remember it, is far less relevant.
Exactly. And it's going to prepare the world for the wonderful blessing. Now, in Revelation 20, it opens with the assurance that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years so he can deceive the nations no more. But you see what that means? The nations of earth are going to have an opportunity for redemption, salvation, deliverance.
Okay, and I think that's an important point. And when you say, so he can deceive the nations no more, it means that the nations that he was previously deceiving are the same ones that he now no longer has any access to.
Precisely. And this, you remember, way back in Genesis, God promised Abraham, in you and in your seed will all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, Paul develops that promise in Galatians, the 3rd chapter and the 4th chapter. And he says, if you be in Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So Christ and those that are the Christian bride of Christ are going to be ruling in glory from heaven to bless all the families of the earth. But how will that begin on earth? Through whom? Where? Geographically? That's where the prophets say it will begin with the earthly seed of Abraham, natural Israel. Once they are restored to faith and have the faith in the Messiah, they will be used by Jesus to gradually expand the blessings of the kingdom to every nation that will receive it.
And there are myriads of prophecies, Old Testament prophecies, that paint a physical picture of what this next phase is going to look like.
There is. Maybe we can turn to one in particular that's very striking.
Sure, go ahead.
It's in Zechariah, the 14th chapter. And this is what talks says there will be a buildup of national interest in the Middle East. It says, I will gather all nations to Jerusalem to fight. And then it says in verse 3, then shall Jehovah go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And then, verse 8, it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. And in verse 9... And
so hold on, because, you know, one of the problems with understanding prophecy is in one verse, you're talking about fighting, and then all of a sudden, you're talking about living waters.
Living waters.
And so, but there's got to be a transition between them. And as we've seen in this program this morning, the unfolding of these things takes more time than we would like to think sometimes.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make
prophecy
that point.
Give you a real quick picture, but it takes sometimes years to fulfill.
Okay. Go ahead.
Now, verse 9, and Jehovah shall be king over all the earth. In that day there should be one Lord, and his name one. And Zephaniah picks up the thread of prophecy and says that after the fire will consume the governments of earth, then he will turn to the people of pure language that they may all call upon him with one consent. So the prophets all talk about this period of trouble, but it's introductory to the wonderful blessings of the millennial kingdom of Christ that the whole world is just unknowingly waiting for. So the best is yet to come.
And I think that helps to put this all in perspective. So where we sit now, and we probably have maybe 2 or 3 minutes here before we have to actually wrap up this program, it's kind of too bad because I'm getting warmed up in terms of asking questions and trying to put it in perspective. So as we begin to go back through what we've discussed this morning, we started out by saying, okay, are we in the end times? And the first thing we spoke of was the fact that the end times of prophecy are actually a much longer period of time than we might think.
Yes.
You looked at the prophecies of Daniel in the 1260 days and said, okay, they came to fruition when?
Oh, in the late 1700s with the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars.
So that begins the end times.
Yes.
A time of unfolding of many other phases of prophecy, and therefore that's why it takes so long.
That's it.
So then you had the 1260 days there, then the 1290 days would have been 1829.
Yes.
And what happens there?
That's when there was a great upsurge in prophetic understanding of the prophecies of Daniel, looking forward to the second advent of Christ.
And so we have this looking forward to the second advent of Christ and actually to the reestablishment of Israel. And then we move toward 1874. That correlates with the 1335 days. And folks, look, it's a lot of numbers, and Julie, I hope you're going to be able to put this on a timeline for us in the C-Crew Rewind. Folks, you want to get the full edition because that's going to have all of this stuff. You can sign up for it at ChristianQuestions.net. It's a free service. But that puts it in perspective, and that brings us up to the late 1800s.
Yes.
And what begins there?
We got three threads of thought that begin there. First is the regathering of Israel. Secondly, an understanding of the truth of God's plan of the ages, which really from 1870s forward began to develop in an incredible way, leading 40 years later to the time of trouble such as never was before. That began with World War I.
World War I, World War II, the current conflicts, the Middle East strife, the buildup of Islamic disdain on a national level toward Israel,
yes.
The public statements of wiping Israel off the map, that literally could be quoted from the scripture. I mean, if you told Ahmadinejad that he was quoting scripture, he would not like it. But he is. He is.
Almost word for word.
Yeah, and so you have this bringing us to Armageddon, which is a final phase in which the world is suffering through all kinds of crises, which we are seeing put in place now. And the key point is that this setup has to be put to an end and replaced with the kingdom of God.
Precisely.
The kingdom of God then does not grow out of this. It replaces this.
Yes.
David, we're out of time. We thank you so much for being with us this morning. We really enjoyed your prophetic take on where we are in the stream of time.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
Folks, look, there's a lot we've talked about, and it can be a little bit, but look at the end result. Look at the kingdom on earth that David was talking about, and go to your Bible and look at the prophecies of Isaiah 35 and Zechariah and Zephaniah and Revelation that hold the kingdom of God in such a high esteem. It will be a time that everyone will be in love with. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again next week with another topic, but until then, these are the perilous end times, but wait, there's more, and it's good. We'll be back next week. Think about it.